Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Things are, we had a good day, so let me give you a quick report, and then you can ask all kinds of questions.
Okay, fire away.
The first thing that we did, of course, is the wire was a top priority for us today, so we got that, got the email I emailed, I scanned and sent to you. Jack handwrote the crude translation. He didn't take a lot of time because I was there getting ready to send that out to you. Then I met with the director of operations at Badam Bank. He said that that wire has been corrected, that it's at the clearinghouse in London, and that you should be able to verify it tomorrow. I'm going back down there tomorrow morning at bank opening, and I will have a number for you to track. He put in a request for the tracking number or some kind of number. Of course, it's coming in translation to me, so the words might not be exactly right from Jack, but it's something like a tracking number will be given tomorrow, and then I can email that to you. So when you wake up tomorrow, you'll have a way to track that wire. You can follow it all the way through. So it has been corrected, according to the director of operations at Badam Bank, who I believe is quite competent. So, you know, that's where that went. We went to the two banks. There was exactly $38. How much in the Badam Bank? Like $383. Yeah, it was like $83 in Badam Bank in our account, and there was little over $4,000 in the account at the IC Bank and Malaysia Bank, which we were both shocked. I was quite shocked that he left that bounder. If he would have found a way to get that $4,000, I'm sure he would have. But for some reason, he didn't get the $4,000. That helps us a little bit with expenses. We did talk to Clint and say, you know, can we use this to help us out a little bit? We're going to be a little short if we have to be here for any over a week. And so he said, yeah, that'd be fine. So we'll have to wait and see how you guys feel about that. But it sure would be good if we had a little bit of breathing room to make it to, you know, make sure we're here long enough. So then we went to I had a good long conference with everybody today talking about our objectives and about the reality of what is going on here. I had a really good chat, first of all, with Dimitri about the tinned stone problem. Yeah. And he confirmed what I suspected. He confirmed what I suspected. And I think I did. I told Jason this when Jason called earlier today, that those four stones were bought. They were over Dimitri's objection, saying that there's not enough margin in those. It's just a bad deal. And then the other six stones were bought completely without Dimitri's knowledge or oversight or completely without any knowledge. He just bought those on the street. He was just desperate to get something. Probably went out the night before and whatever. And Dimitri then did have a chance to look at him. Dave wanted him to help to prepare a manifest, and Dimitri did get to see him and just shook his head. Jack witnessed that and just shook his head and said, what did you do? I mean, why did you buy this one? And his response was, coming from Dimitri, I have to get a good buy so I can open the door. So that was Dave's response when he basically admitted that he totally bought stuff. Dimitri's analysis was about $100,000. He said, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to do the full workup, but my idea would be that was probably worth $100,000. Dave should have probably paid $50,000 for it all. He probably would have made some money if he would have paid $50,000 for all those stones. So that's what that was very – in one way, it was good to hear that, you know, obviously that Dimitri is up on things. It was sad to hear that, you know, Dave just is just a complete idiot. I mean, just everything he's done here is just completely crazy. We talked a lot about future opportunities in diamonds. Dimitri's been here for 10 years. He's bought millions and millions and millions and millions of diamonds. He knows everybody. He's very well connected. He knows how to do it. He knows what to do, and basically said two things. There's two options here. One is to buy the onesie twosies they come in, buy right, send those out on a timely basis, send those off to a place like the Diamond Tender or some place that's got a consistent schedule going, like in Antwerp, Belgium. And the other way is to do what Dave has had set up, and that is to go out to the bush, they call it, go to the diamond, to the diamond mines, to the big collector out there who is now on board to meet us next week. And buy, he said, between 50 to 60% off Rap Report prices and AdTech. He said that's the place to buy. Now's the perfect time to buy because of Ramadan. People are, you know, looking for some cash. The diamond market's been a little repressed, and so he said now's the perfect time to buy. So that was his put. We're going to put together something. Tomorrow we're going to spend on just doing an overall simple business model cost analysis. Just going to forget everything anybody's ever told us, and we're going to play dumb, and we're going to just going to start from scratch and say, okay, what can you really get them and where and how much? Can you really sell them where and how much? And do a quick report so we can just look at the diamonds and give it a good faith issue. That'll be a good starting point for you guys to look that at that. Jack and Dr. Salah and Dimitri have been very, very, very positive. In fact, Dave admitted to these guys a couple of times that he's waited for 5 years to have the opportunity to go out and meet these guys that he's finally got that potentially he could meet. Let me explain who they are. The best doctor in town is the best African doctor is a guy named Dr. Salah. S-A-L-A-H. Okay, Dr. Salah. And he is Jack's wife's uncle. He's actually Algerian. He's from Algier. Did his medical training and his all his post-medical training in Europe. And then when he finished up with Europe, they were given a big fellowship to come to Guinea. He's from Northern Africa. He figured I might as well come down here. He came down here and got the reputation for being a very, very good doctor. And so he represented everybody – or not represented. He treated and became the doctor for most of the people that had money. And so he knows all of the diamond dealers, all the diamond sellers. He knows everybody. And all of the good contacts and the good the people that we've had, all came from him. For example, there are two people out of the bush – that are the what they call the diamond collectors. These guys are out there. All the people that want diamonds go to him. He negotiates a price, and those guys don't really want to come in. They're out there out in the outback. And so Dr. Salah has been working with them, and that trip is all arranged whenever we want to go. The reality is, though, you can't really take that trip until you have money here, because what you do, according to Jack and Dr. Salah and Dimitri, who's done this on several occasions. Dimitri said over 100 times I've been out and bought out of the bush, and he said it's not, you know, it's an amazing way to do it. You go out with about 10%, 5 to 10% of what the purchase price you're anticipating. Say you got $1 million. You'd go out, you would, because of our contact, you would pay, say, 5%, go through the whole stones, pay 5% down. At that point, they would allow you to bring the stones in. Then you bring them in and secure them in Dimitri's safe or whoever safe you'd want to establish. And then they would come in the next day or two and come in without the stones. They don't want to travel with the stones. They would come in without the stones, and then you would pay them for them. They would go to the Kimberly office with you, sign the receipts, and it would be done. Dimitri said he's done that over 100 times, that type of a transaction. Works well and easy. That's a good way to go. So we need to be thinking of maybe some procedures if you want to pursue that. Dimitri did say that he was in the 50% to 60% off what the AdTech and the other prices were for establishing stones. So that's a really good opportunity. We're excited about that. That has been set up. That's what Dave really, really, really was anticipating was going to happen. So he's, you know, he kind of was hoping to do that. He's already called Jack. I told Jack to no longer take his calls and deal with him at all. Dave's not getting the message to butt out and stay away. He called Jack and said, don't take him to the bush. When Jack finally pushed him, why? These guys are part of your company. He said,
I've worked in Africa for 5 long years for that simple opportunity to get out there and buy and make this work. Well, obviously that's worked 5 long years ripping off people and their money. I mean, basically what he's done. But that was good. So we worked on that. I really went through that analysis and with these guys today. Met most of the time just in meetings with those three, Jack, Dr. Sala, and Dimitri, kind of assessing what went wrong and you know, the details. They are all very, very, very relieved that he's gone. You know, if you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. It doesn't matter. It crosses over all languages, race, gender, bias, continent. You know, it's they're so happy he's gone. And in fact, I got to tell you a funny story. When Jack was asking, well, why don't you want to take these guys out to the bush? You know, if they can raise them, if they've got the money, that would be a great opportunity to get this thing started. It's a wonderful opportunity. So Dave was a little bit concerned about that, and so he called Dr. Sala and said, "Don't take him to the bush. Those are my contacts." And Dr. Sala is got such a cute personality. He said, "I'm really hungry. Maybe you could send me some money. I need $5,000. And Dave said, okay. So Dr. Sala was telling us this. He was laughing so hard. He was literally on the floor. He said, "Oh, I love to play with him. He's such a thief and a liar and a cheat." So Dr. Sala is a really good man, and he is really good. So we were laughing about that pretty hard today. And he said, so I told him to wire me the money. I hear he's really good at it. I hear that he can wire me $5,000 to not take these guys to the bush. So maybe that's how we get some money from Dave. We just get Dr. Sala to threaten to take him to the bush every day, and I need $5,000.
Yeah, that sounds like funny.
I would say we had a good day. The only thing I was a little disappointed. We did put some inquiries on some gold. Jack's going to make some calls on the gold. I spent about 3 hours, maybe 2 hours, at Badam Bank. Went clear up to the bank president. Very reputable, very respectful. Very nice place. I got the sense it's great. In fact, as we're leaving, you could see legitimate foreigners coming in that are buying gold. What they do, you probably know this, but I just want to make sure you understand exactly what was told to me and what I was able to establish, is that they have been put in place to facilitate agricultural transactions, mining, diamonds, and gold. Diamonds and gold, of course, the biggest. But you know, they've got a lot of natural resources here, and they mine bauxite, and they mine iron ore, and you know, it's very rich in natural resources. So basically, their charter and their directive is to basically facilitate those transactions, because it's virtually impossible to do business with Africa, just because you know there's so much mistrust with the sellers and so much mistrust with the people coming in to buy, that there's just no way you can make it work. Very few people would ever put money into Africa, and so. But what they basically do is they facilitate it by granting big lines of credit based on a contract. So let's say that they saw that we put a purchase in for 50 kilos. They would actually go out and get that 50 kilos arranged. We would have to negotiate the price. They don't want to get involved in the price negotiations or the terms of the deal. What they want to do is they want to advance. They want to pay for it for us and then allow so that the people out there to come up this big chain of distribution will actually get paid. And so they basically advance the purchase price. They hold it. And they become, in fact, the agent seller. Then they will assist in delivering that to our designated location. For example, let's say that you said, "Chris, go find me 50 kilos of gold." I would go out and have to find a reputable seller. I would say, we're using Badam Bank as the facilitator. Go there and you'll get paid for it. We'd do a contract, submit the contract to the bank. The bank would then, would have, as that comes in, they would pay for it. Of course, there's a timetable. I think it's a 1 week or a week timetable. And then they would facilitate all that. And then, of course, as soon as the amount was given is collected, or a time limit. They usually like time limits better than amounts, because sometimes it's just hard to get enough. You know, let's just say you put a fit order in for 50 kilos, you got 37, but the week was up, so that you would buy the 37, ship it to the refinery. As soon as the refinery confirmed it was at 92 or higher percent, then they would expect payment. Now, what we've done with them, and I got to give Dave a little credit for this, because Dave actually came with this idea, and I finalized it today. We may be taking one of these guys with us home. Is they're going to open up a bank in Chase Bank in New York City, in the name of Badam Bank. So the reason why that's so great is because then, as soon as the gold hits the refinery and it's good. And we've got possession of the goods, then we just have to wire that bank there. We don't have to send the money to Africa. And that's all set up. The gold couldn't be better. I mean, the gold's looking really, really good because of Badam Bank. The problem with Badam Bank and diamonds is we don't have a refinery type of a situation that makes it so clear cut. A refinery can tell you, yep, it's 92% gold. It's all here and accounted for. Here's the price. Bam. The wire goes out. Goes to their account in there, and then they've already taken care of. They've advanced the money for the purchase price. So it's basically an old rudimentary letter of credit type scenario. They're backed by the World Bank, which is setting these up, facilitating these charters. So Western Africa and others can really start getting some commerce going, because obviously nobody wants to deal with them. And so that is, of all things that happened today, that's an AA+. Very good. I felt very good about it. I am they've prepared a draft contract that goes through all of this. And so I'm picking that up tomorrow. I'll review that. I'll kick it over to you. You can kind of look and see what you think about it. I'll spend a little time on it tomorrow going through and just kind of seeing how they want to facilitate that. They'll want some comments and some suggestions and how that happens. So that sounded good. I talked to the president. So everything Dave said about that was true. The president of the bank was there, very reputable, very nice office, very nice bank. The president clearly said, yes, this is what we want to do. This is how we're doing it. And we'll send somebody to New York, open an account in our name. We'll take payment there. We'll advance payment on the gold. We take the risk away from the American buyer. It'll be great. So that's an issue that's been solved for gold. I think that would be a great way to do transactions, really, because the buyer really doesn't have a huge risk, because the gold hits the refinery, is verified and confirmed before payment is due. That's a big deal. I mean, that works. I think you'd be willing to do that all day long if that type of scenario was set up for you.
Yeah, we would. We'd certainly be interested in that sort of
thing. Assuming we can get it. Assuming we can get it for the right price. And that's one of the things that we talked about in our meeting this morning, was that is an important part of what we're trying to do, and that is to go find gold for the right price. It's pretty clear that here in Conakry, gold is going to be not the pricing that's going to make everybody get really excited. I mean, there's only probably 10 to 15% off LME on the purchase price. That really is not enough to get excited. I mean, it's enough to get a couple tranches out just to say you can do it and make a little bit of money. But especially if it's Badam Bank and the money stays in the United States, that's okay. But there's other options. And Jack, I'm not really going to put Jack onto that. I really trust his ability to kind of ask around and see what we're going to do. We have to get out of Conakry. We've got to get into some people that are higher up the food chain. We've got to get some suppliers. Much like they've claimed they've done with the diamonds, we need to do with the gold. We need to find the supplier that's just on the fringe. We don't want to go sit at the collection station out in Sigiri with a backpack full of money, and as they come in and bring their ounce or two every day off the out there been panning. We don't want to do that. But what we want to do is have somebody that's got a pretty good supply right there at the edge of it that we can just go buy there. That may be an option. We'll explore that. There's some options there to do it. And maybe Chris can come and kind of look on that issue. But so that's my day. I spent a lot of time at the bank, spent some time meeting with these guys, spent some time tracking down the money, spent some time going through some procedures, so what we want to do. And I would say it was a pretty successful day, all in all.
Okay, good. Okay, I've got a couple of questions here, actually several. So why don't we start at the top?
Okay.
The first one is, did you get the bank statements and bank records so that you can find out where our money went?
Yes. We're working on that tonight. We're going to put on a spreadsheet, so we can. I thought I had Quicken on my QuickBooks on my computer, but it's on my home computer, and I don't have a copy here. But we can put on a nice spreadsheet. So we'll do that. We're going to track every dime of those transactions. We got the statements from the from Malaysia Bank, where the $4,000 was. We didn't get the statements yet from Badam Bank because they want us to finish up a quick little corporate resolution and submit the articles and showing up authority to be signers on that bank. And I'm working on that right now as we speak. I just pulled up some forms for that. So I'll have those done and deliver those tomorrow. I have a meeting with them, an appointment with the bank president and their chief of operations and their vice president over international sales tomorrow at 9:30. And so at that time, we're going to pick that contract up. I'm also going to be delivered a copy of the bank statements. That bank account's only been open for less than a month, maybe 5 weeks, maybe 6 weeks. I don't know, but we'll get all the records. We did confirm that there was like $83 in there, but they wouldn't give us the statements and give us all the details until we had some documents showing that we had authority to access those accounts.
Okay. Clint's group has talked with Jason. I guess Clint talked with Jason, told him that Dave is living it up down in Vegas.
We heard that today. So that's very saddening to hear, and I don't know what living it up means. The reason why that we know that, and of course I talked to Nate, who Nathan came with us. Nate came with us. He's one of their partners, and Nate told me that Clint called Dave to see if he would man up and do some kind of analysis on these stones and kind of see how he bought and see if he would do a manifest so he could help get a little bit of price on them. And he admitted that he was in Las Vegas. So I don't know what living up means. I just know he was in Las Vegas yesterday in the evening, according to Nathan or Clint, who talked to him.
Okay. Well, hopefully he's not getting on a plane coming to see you.
I would be very surprised. He may come over. I haven't heard that. But we've got a pretty good idea that if he comes, Dr. Sala is pretty well connected. He knows everybody with authority and power. And he said, wouldn't it be great to have him arrested, take his money, and put him on the next plane home? Wouldn't that be fun? I said, do it, buddy. Just do that. That's our plan. So our plan actually is if he does come over, then Dr. Sala is going, Dr. Sala can't stand him. And the thing about it's so funny is Dave thinks that Dr. Sala and Dimitri and Jack are in his camp, and they're laughing about it. They say, we can't stand a liar. You know, he's just a liar, and he's just hurting our reputation, and, you know, we want to make money. These guys have incentives. We've negotiated commission agreements with these guys. So if we're successful, just small, it's nothing big, you know, a percentage to share amongst all of them, great. Their contacts are great guys, but they have incentive. They want this thing to work. And they could see with Dave's lies and his cheating and his misery, it was never going to happen. And his incompetence, I mean, you know, just the incompetence of how he would do things. I'm going to tell you honestly, I got done more in one day than I did in 2 weeks with David. I mean, you just get it. You just have your objectives and set your goals and go out and do it. Dave would just wake up every morning, okay, we're going to do this. Well, why don't we do this? No, we're going to do this. He just the incompetence was just crazy. So.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay, next do we know how long it's going to take Badam Bank to set that arrangement up to where they'll ship it into the country for us before we pay for it?
A couple of weeks. The first part of that is what I'm getting tomorrow, and that's the contract. I'll review that. We'll go through to make sure that we're okay with that thing. And then one of the things that they wanted to do is Africans are always a little bit leery about traveling themselves to New York City. And so they had asked if they would allow whoever is going to go from their bank to travel with one of us and to just to get there and help them get through customs and kind of take them under our wing, get them to the bank, get their account set up, and then put them back on the plane and send them home. we agreed to do that. We agreed to – they'll pay all the expenses, of course, but we agreed they would, they could come with us, and we don't know when we're leaving yet. And so as soon as that's – I would say within 2 to 3 weeks, we should have that all wrapped up.
Would they allow us to go ahead and just set that bank account up for them, or do they have to send a representative of the bank?
Absolutely. If you could figure out how to do it without them there, I would love you forever. I called on that, and I did some but you've got a lot more contacts in the banking world than I do. If you can get that account set up without them being there physically, that's great. The reason why I say that is I did call, and in Chase Bank at least, I called quite a way up the food chain to find out if there are any exceptions to the policy for foreigners owning bank accounts in the United States. You have to be there. You have to sign the signature card. You have to be fingerprinted. They have to run an Interpol on you, and they have to run a U.S. Check on you, and they will not do that outside the United States, is what I was told. I may be wrong. If you can find a way that we can open a bank account for a foreigner without him being there?
It's not for a foreigner, though. It's for another bank, so they'll use Chase as a correspondent here in the States, if I understood you correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you'll call on that tomorrow, if you can just call a few people, that's all we need. Just a corresponding bank. That's all we need. If they can do it there in the United States, that's great.
Okay, next thing I wanted to ask you about is how will Badam Bank ship to the refinery? Since FedEx and DHL aren't there, how will they actually physically lift the metal?
Air France.
Okay, all the different times that, or at least the two times that we've looked at the Air France option, both times you have come back and told me that it's not acceptable because of the paperwork involved. Is that not the case?
Yeah, because of the it is. We'd have to have Air France would have to change a few clauses in their disclosure or their exceptions to their insurance policy, and I don't know if they will or not. We'd have to work that out. I guess the bank would have to guarantee that, but we don't care because we haven't paid for it yet.
Okay.
I mean, I don't care if they do Air France because our money's waiting in escrow or letter of credit waiting for it to hit the refinery. So if they want to take that risk with Air France, more power to them. But they will ship Air France.
Do we have to put up a letter of credit to get them to ship, or how do we?
Nope.
What do we do?
I don't know. They've got to have some proof of verification of funds. Doesn't have to be letter of credit. It could be a bank state. It could be a bank account verified showing I've got funds available.
Okay, if it's that simple, we just could send them a screenshot or something. That'd be ideal.
Yep, that'd be ideal. Send them a screenshot. I've got $1.5 million. I want to buy 50 kilos at $330. Okay, then they'll start buying it, and they either want time or amount. My advice on the first couple, if we do that, would be time. Buy as much as we can. Go out and find it what we can in. Let's say that you've got the money available, so let's say we give it 5 or 7 business days. And then we go out and hustle, trying to do it. And then once that's done, let's say we had a budget for 50, let's say we found 45, but our time's up, fine. And the price is right, we just ship it out right then, and then it goes to the refinery. Payment is not due until it hits the refinery, which is a big deal.
Yeah, that's huge. Okay, next question I have for you is with respect to Travis. I was talking with Jason, and Jason and I decided that we would like to help Travis financially for a minute here, given his current situation. And so we don't know how, but we'd like to have you find out and tell us how we can send him some money.
Okay. I will Skype you instructions. I'll get with his dad. Jay? Do you have what would be the best way for these guys to send Travis a little bit of money? I've got Reed on the Skype. If they want to send him a little bit of money, how would they do that? Is he in Salt Lake now at the Primary Children's? And where does he bank? Does he bank at Chase? He has a Chase account. He's actually – it's really sad. Jason did tell me that today, and I was very – that was very touching. And when he told Jay was very emotional about it because he does need a little help, and we've tried to help him whenever we can, and it's just a sad thing. His daughter is dying. She didn't win the battle with cancer, and so now they put her in the Primary Children's trying to do some things. But it's obvious that she's
going down every day. So, and this, you know what the sad thing about it is? I feel really bad for Travis's wife. She is 9 months and a day pregnant. So they're not letting her go up to Primary Children's, which doesn't make any sense to me. I would just take her up to Salt Lake and have the baby up there, it would seem to me. So their mom's in St. George with a 3-year-old baby dying. I mean, that's just a tough deal. So I will Skype you some instructions. Let me do you care if I tell Travis that you're thinking about doing it and what he would rather do, or do you want to tell him? Do you want to call him? Would you like to call him and just get some instructions? It might be easier if you just call him.
If you want me to, I will, but
or do you want to keep it confidential a little bit?
It's not so much keeping it confidential, it's just we just wanted to just do it real quick and get it to him, and whatever is the fastest, easiest way is fine. Just because, you know...
Okay, I'll Skype you the details in about 10 minutes.
We feel bad that Dave has abused him and has taken his money and everything else, and, you know, we can give him a little bit to help him make the trip back and forth and things like that and help make his life a little easier until we can get this on the roll. He needs it worse than any of the rest of us do.
He really does, and you know, I think the sad thing is, you may or may not know this, but Travis told me this with tears in his eyes, you know, how much he believed in Dave. He had a big silver collection around Christmas time last year, and Dave didn't have any money, and Dave's a high roller and didn't want his family to have any money, no Christmas for the kids. And so Travis, on his own volition, went out and sold that complete silver set. I mean, all these silver coins, and sold the whole thing. You know, gave Dave a couple grand or whatever it was. And, you know, and Dave has the ball, just has the, I don't know what the word is. Dave has the character that he's got a partner that's, his baby's dying and Travis can't even afford to get up to the Primary Children's. I mean, that is just the most heartbreaking thing. I mean, you know, I don't think it gets worse than that. And here he's over here embezzling money, sending it home. Ah, boy, it really does. You know, there are times, Reed, I got to get over this. If there were times I knew I wouldn't go to hell, I think I'd sneak in the room and slit his throat. I mean, that's how I rethink of his character. I mean, it gives me emotional just thinking about it. And about what he's done to me and the promise he made to me and my dad and Jay, those guys. I mean, really, the guy has no conscience. And I've got to get over it. We've got to get past it and talk about the Dave issue. But it's still pretty fresh. But that's a wonderful gesture. Thank you so much for me. And that's great. I'll Skype you the instructions of where he is. And if I could maybe just give you a Chase bank account, you can just wire it in. That'd be great. Make it in and out. So I'll have that for you within 10, 15 minutes if you want to just wire some money in his account.
Well, there's a Chase bank in my parking lot here. That's an easy way to do it. I can just, you know, write a check and go over and drop it into his account.
Just go deposit it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'll have that for you in a few minutes. As soon as we're done here, I'll Skype you the – in fact, Jay, will you see if you can find his account number real quick and at Chase? Okay. All right. Next question.
Do we have a plan yet for recouping the losses?
What's next on your list? Can you hear me okay? You faded out. Okay, yeah, there you are.
Is there a plan or do you have a plan yet for recouping losses?
My preference would be to try to work on some some metal transactions and to some other transactions over here and forfeit all of our profit until we broke even. That would be my preference. That'd be my plan. Otherwise, it's, you know, going to put me in a really bad way to try to get. I can go home, try to raise some money, sell some assets, and do that. I would rather not do that. I would rather look forward and forfeit and proceed here. If it's going to work for you, proceed here with forfeiting our share until you're made whole. That would be my plan.
Okay.
That would be my preference. Otherwise, I've got to get home. When
will you know what the timing will be on being able to get another tranche of gold, and when should we plan to have our guys go over there to pick it up and bring it back?
I'll know a lot more tomorrow, and Saturday I'll have a real firm handle on it, on the gold issue. I would much rather, and it's much safer, if you can find out some information about a corresponding bank issue, if you can do me a little bit of favor and kind of snoop into that. I know you're a busy guy, but if you can kind of snoop around a little bit and find out what the particulars are. My research was that they had to have, because they were foreigners and even a foreign company, they had to be here physically to open it. And if we can get that exception, we can expedite this thing by 2 weeks. These guys are ready, willing, and able right now to do this. And there's gold here. The pricing is going to be a little bit tough. If we buy it here on the streets of Conakry, of course, it's going to be up. But Jack seems to think we can probably get some good things. So I'd say a couple of weeks. I'd say we can probably get – within a couple of weeks, we can probably get all that worked out and have some gold ready to purchase. That would be my estimate. I don't know exactly. I'll have a better idea towards the end of this week.
Okay. Well, don't think only Badam Bank here. Just think outside the box for a minute. The same way that we purchased the kilos that we already brought back, I'm wondering if we can repeat that by just sending somebody into the country, picking it up and bringing it home, and you know, wiring the funds over in advance into your account or into our account or something, so that it's bought and paid for, and just run it through Central Bank and bring it back.
Okay, I will know the answer to that tomorrow, because I did check on that, and one of the things that Jack was doing calling for me today was on that 50 kilos. Is 50 kilos too much?
I don't know how much money we're going to have. 50 kilos is 1.5 million or so, right, depending on the price?
Yeah.
And, I mean, within probably 10 days or so, it ought to be reachable for us, but I don't have that much, you know, right now, and I probably won't, until a week or so or 10 days from now.
Should I target 20 to 30 kilos? That seems like a pretty good see if we can get that out ASAP, 20 to 30 kilos.
Yeah, try 20, 25, maybe 30, see what we can do on that.
What's gold doing today? I haven't looked at it for a week. I have no idea where the price of gold is. Is it up again? Is it over 1,200 again?
It's holding steady, but yesterday it was up pretty big. So right now it's at 1,238.10.
Wow.
And silver is pushing $19. It's $18.98.
Wow.
So we've had some pretty big increases the last few days, and I have some insight into why and all that. Doesn't really matter at this moment, but if we can get prices locked in for gold below $30,000 a kilo, we need to lock those in now. I think we're looking at an increase here.
Okay, let's try it then. And what happens if I have to go to 31?
Well,
because I think our best is 31. That doesn't, there's the margins aren't there, but it's still pretty good if gold's going to hit up 1250 again.
Yeah, but see, gold could just as easily come back down under 12, and then we're really squeezed. But if they'll do 31, they'll do 30. You know what I mean? Just 30,000 for 20 to 30 kilos. Bring it right now, and we'll buy it. That kind of a thing. Use your negotiating skills and see what you can do.
I will, and if I stay under 25, one person can carry it. We don't have to worry about shipping it, and so I'll shoot for 25. Then that seems like a pretty good. That seems like a pretty good. That's about $750,000. I'm sure you can handle that, and that's a really good purchase. And there may be enough profits in there that we can start on that. So that'll be my priority tomorrow, is to get that worked out and see if I can go out and find that.
Okay, very good. Just in general, we're kind of wondering if Dave is going to continue to butt in and try to interfere and make phone calls and everything else. It sounds like you're already anticipating that and handling it, but he's going to get in there and try and mess up Badam Bank. He's going to try and get in and mess up Malaysia Bank. He's going to do anything he can to keep us from being able to do what he wished he could do and didn't.
I wrote him a letter. I haven't finished it yet. I started last night, and I go into some specific details of things that I know that he's done. I also have got in there that I haven't been really, really clear about it, but I also included the potential penalties for what he's done. And I'm gonna send it. And about when I'm done with this call, I'll proof it again and get ready to send it. But it basically says if you interfere anymore, then you're going to prison for a long time. Now, he's probably going to go prison anyway. And talking with Jason today, talking with Clint's group today, I don't have any control on them. Jason wants to call the police. I can't stop Jason, but I'm gonna. I certainly don't have to call, and I certainly can tell Jason, Dave, I'm not going to call, and that's fine. But I'll tell him I will not, report him to the authorities. But I don't have to. I mean, I have a pretty good feeling Dave's going to go to jail anyway. That we've got about $120,000 that we can't account for. I suspect he blew a lot of it here. Jack described his time as a banking frenzy. Which tells me he was at the bank every day, moving money, embezzling money, you know, just whatever. It's just awful. And so, obviously, that's what he was doing. Obviously, we've got a really good case. We've got a lot of evidence today about the withdrawals and the deposits and the moving money, and none of it makes any sense. I just glanced at it, just shook my head. I mean, it's just the most, you know, it just makes any sense. Money in and out, spent in small portions. I mean, you can't buy anything in small portions over here. 10,000 here, 25 here, 12,000 here. Doesn't make any sense. He was just taking money out in small pieces and sending it home or whatever he's doing with it. So we've got good evidence. We'll continue to build the evidence. My mission here is to mostly, however, that's a big part of it, is to protect that, but protect the evidence. But more importantly is to continue to reassure Jack and Dr. Sala and Dimitri that we're real and that we have the ability to do big things. We've got to check out the procedures. We've got to do some more verification of what we're doing. And I told them today that I'm taking the approach that everything Dave ever said about Africa is a lie. And so I'm here as the devil's advocate, and I'm here to ask the obvious questions. And if I sound stupid, be patient. I'm asking the obvious question because I'm not going to assume anything that it was told to me. And they kind of laughed about that. You know, obviously they know he's a liar, and they're going to be very supportive. But bottom line is, we'll do a good analysis here, and I think the gold's a good way to do some quick ones. You can use investors' money because you know you've made a little bit of money in the past, and you know if we can get 25, that'd be great. I'll work on that tomorrow.
Okay. What do you need on your end from us to facilitate that gold? Do you know yet, or will you know more tomorrow?
I'll know tomorrow. You mean as far as just some parameters? You gave me those. What do you mean?
Well,
I won't need any money.
How do we wire the money? Where do we wire it? When do we wire it? Who's responsible?
I'll know tomorrow.
Once we do wire it, things like
that. I'll know tomorrow. I'll know tomorrow. And the one option would be to send Chris over, get an account set up in our new entity's name, and do it that way. The other option, if we want to move really fast, is we took Dave off the accounts today. And so that won't be done for a couple of days, but we're working on that. The corporate documents, we've got an appointment. We'll have an appointment tomorrow with the attorney over here to kind of get that worked out on some legal procedures on trying to get Dave off all those issues. But I don't want you to wire any money to our accounts here until Dave's off those accounts. I mean, I just don't want to take that risk. You never know. He could fly in at night and come in, you know, I don't know. I just don't want him to do that. So, and I won't have the banking done until first of next week. It might be just as easy to send Chris over and have a new account set up. We can talk about that after I know more about what's really available and how fast it's going to take us to get it and what the pricing is going to be. I think that, you know, Jack can make 10 or 15, 20 calls tomorrow and see if, you know, how feasible that is. And if that's the case, yeah, let's get some wired over here and let's get it out of here.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, we will continue to accumulate funds over here the best that we can on the gold side. Probably the type of thing like I described to you earlier on the diamonds. It's not really looking feasible at this moment, so we have a better plan. Probably we will not be buying diamonds quite yet, but we'd sure like to get a plan in place that would allow us to do that safely and repetitively, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I agree. I agree 100%. So I'm going to spend some time to help you prepare a plan of kind of what I think that what could be done. You know, we'll look at that and see. And I know these guys here are really high on the opportunity to go out to the bush and do that. We'll have to put some procedures in, obviously, that will protect that. And I'll think about that and put some things in writing that we can kind of go through and look at and evaluate and go from there.
Okay. All right, well, appreciate the phone call and the update. I did keep my phone by my pillow last night, but didn't get anything from you in the middle of the night, so we've kind of assumed everything went well. One thing I did not really hear was in midday today, I didn't really get any updates from you, but it sounds like you talked with Jason. Did he call you or did you call
him? He called me, and I tried to call. I've got to figure out my phone. I can call out, but for some reason I couldn't get I don't know if I didn't have a minute or something, but I should be able to call out tomorrow. If I have a problem, I'll call you. And what you did today was really good. You sent me a text. I did get your text, by the way. And so if you have any questions or whatever, just send me a text. I called my wife on her cell phone, but for some reason yours wouldn't work. I don't know what the problem was, but I'll see if I can get it tomorrow.
Now, I did send you a text message sometime around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, your time, and never heard her back from that one.
Yeah, I didn't get it till about 4, and that was really weird. Is your cell phone handy real quick?
Yes, it is.
Let me try to call it real quick. I might have the...
You did call me last night. That worked.
Yeah, that worked, and so it should have gone out today. Hold on just real quick. I'm going to call you.
It'll actually go to my secretary.
That's okay. I just want to make sure it works. If you've got it forwarded, that's fine. Okay. Okay. 801-191-190. It's 1910, right? Oh, it's 801-910. 5500. Yeah, yeah. 801-5500, and then I've got to dial that.
I think yesterday you had to dial a 001.
Yeah. Wait, it's not working. Let me try one more thing here. I may have to. Let me try one more time. Yes, 001 should work. 001-801-910-5500. Okay, let me try one more time. 001-801-910-5500. Can you hear that? It's ringing. Hey, it might work. Oh yeah. Hi Lindsay, how are you? I'm just seeing if your if Reed's cell phone's working from Africa. So, no reason to buzz him. I've got him on Skype. Okay, thank you. Bye bye. Hey, I got it to work.
Yep, it worked.
I had saved in your contacts as you remember I dialed 001 and I had it in your contacts wrong, so I fixed it. So good. I will be able to call you anytime.
Okay. Well, keep me posted, particularly on the gold tomorrow. And what I'm getting over here on my side is a lot of people are saying, okay, you know, when do we go over there? What day do we leave? Things like that. And I need to kind of, in my head, have a plan for the timing. That's the most important thing.
Okay. I'll be able to make some decisions tomorrow with you. We can talk about that and see if I can at least give you some ideas of where we are. So.
Okay. How long ago did you talk
with
Jason?
I will talk to you tomorrow. I talked to Jason about 5-6 hours ago.
Oh, okay. It's quite a while ago then.
He called me when he first got up. I was still at the bank. I stepped out of the room and took his call. So, yeah, he wanted to tell me about Travis, and he also wanted to tell me how disgusted he was that he was in Las Vegas that night before. I'll tell you, Jason's pretty pissed. I mean, I wouldn't want to be David right now. That's all I got to say. Dave's pretty pissed. I mean, Jason's pretty pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me too. But he says he's exercising all of his skill and power to restrain himself because what he really wants to do is go down there and you know pick a fight with Dave. And I hope he doesn't do something like that. But bottom line is he's struggling very very hard to try and keep his temper and his wits about him. You know.
I don't blame him. I mean, you know, it's one thing to steal and embezzle, which is horrible and bad enough, and it's your money. I mean, when somebody steals your own your money, it's pretty tough. I mean, I had my home was broken in one time. I had an invasion robbery when I was there, but they did knock the front door down, broke in, and they just took random stuff. One of the things they got up with was my wife's jewelry box, and luckily she had her diamond ring on our wedding ring, but. There are a lot of things in there that are very sentimental to her. Diamonds we bought in Hawaii and this and that, you know, stuff. And, you know, oh, my gosh, it took my wife forever to get over that. When somebody steals from you, it's a big deal, you know, especially when you trusted them. I mean, you know, that's a tough deal. So I can sure Jason's kind of reeling through that. And we're all pissed over here, you know, just the fact that he's still trying to call Jack. But we're going to put a stop to that right now.
Okay. All right. Appreciate the update. If you hear anything else tonight, feel free to give me a buzz, and I'll look forward to hearing from you again tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Reed.
All right. Take care.
I'm going to Skype you Travis's number as soon as I get it.
Okay.
His account number.
All right. Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Reed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.